Well, there really are no barriers to thinking globally from day one.
I mean, you can build a business anywhere, but it's probably easier to build a very successful business if you're harnessing some kind of global mega trend.
Skal vi lykkes i morgen, må vi ta gode beslutninger i dag. Derfor har vi invitert noen av landets mest toneangivende mennesker for å snakke om temaer vi vet vil forme våre liv fremover. Dette i morgen, en podcast fra oss I McKinsey Norge. Mitt navn Kåre Skustani. Takk for at du hører på oss. Og et av vår generasjons ofte stilte spørsmål hva skal vi leve av etter oljen? Og blant svarene på det produktene, tjenestene og løsningene som norske gründere og entreprenører utvikler akkurat nå. Men selv om den norske gründeronden god, og det gror godt her hjemme, det for få norske selskap som vokser seg store og går fra å være startup til å bli scale-up. De gjør det rett og slett godt I den hjemlige serien, men har ikke klart å kvalifisere seg til Champions League helt enda. For å få svar på hvordan vi skal klare å sikre kvalifisering, har vi invitert Innovasjon Norges Håkon Haugli og vår egen seniorpartner Paul Jenkins til denne sendingen. Og følg med, for Paul har lovet å fortelle om fem punkter vi I McKinsey har sett at kjennetegner de selskapene som faktisk klarer å vokse seg store. Først og fremst, velkommen Paul. Du forstår jo norsk veldig godt, men for å få de beste rådene ut av deg, tar vi resten av samtalen her på engelsk, så får vi bare håpe at de som lytter også henger godt med. Because in addition to being a senior partner here in Oslo, Paul, you are the global lead of what we call Leap by McKinsey, where you focus on digital transformation and the development of new sustainable businesses around the world. But before we get into the professional details, you are British and you have lived in Oslo for over 25 years. How come you're leading this work for McKinsey here in Oslo?
Thank you, Chris. Well, first of all, why am I in Norway? It's always the standard reason. My wife is Norwegian. So, you know, so like many of the foreign men that I meet, you know, I met and married a wonderful Norwegian woman and was brought here. You know, we lived in London and then, you know, she brought me here. And I discovered that Norway is just a beautiful place to live. So that's why I'm here. As you say, I now lead our business building practice. We have helped our clients build and scale over 600 businesses, 20 unicorns, a couple of decacorns. So, you know, it's not only fun, it also seems to have some impact. And, you know, hopefully I can share some of that and have a great conversation with my good friend Håkon during this session. Mm.
And you lead the global work we do with business building, but how has your time in Norway influenced your concern, or what can you say? Your concern is probably a strong word, but towards Norwegian businesses and how we do things around here?
I think concern is the wrong word. I think it's more about the potential. You know, so I've lived here for so long. I am now a Norwegian. Now you guys allowed a dual nationality. And I'm a proud Norwegian. And I just see so much opportunity in Norway. We're going to go into this in more detail later. But I mean, Norway has so many different areas where Norway is leading the world. And you know, whether it is in electrification of cars, whether it is in digital sort of adoption, of course, all of the you know, whether it is in hydro and wind, there's so many areas where Norway is genuinely leading the world, but it's not yet creating world leading companies that go alongside that leadership in what the future will look like. I just think that's a massive missed opportunity.
As I said in the intro, you have been part of identifying five core, what can you say, aspects or factors that characterize companies that grow large and actually do succeed, and which hopefully can inspire entrepreneurs and investors that are listening to this podcast as well. Which points in the, like, exactly are we talking about here?
Well, there's really like, where do you play? And that's really the source of the five. So, I mean, you can build a business anywhere, but it's probably easier to build a very successful business if you're harnessing some kind of global mega trend and building a business that has got the tailwind that goes alongside that. And so the five are really those mega trend areas that we think are really exciting for innovation. The first one is around, surprise, surprise, AI and automation. I have to say that we did announce this about 4 years ago, before ChatGPT hit the hit the world. But you know, it's obviously just accelerated with the capability. I mean, you know, AI is genuinely transforming all industries, all sectors, and there is a ton of business opportunity to be taken, and new business businesses that will be found. So that's the first sort of area. Second one is that that you know, reimagining old style manufacturing businesses to be also including service businesses. If you look at what Rolls Royce does with sort of power by hour, why do I buy a jet engine when I could lease one? Or if you look at what Hyra is doing, very exciting Norwegian company that is allowing us all to, we don't need to buy a car. If we need a van, we don't need to. We can just borrow it by the hour or by the minute. So that concept of offering things traditionally owned as a service will be the second one. Third one is around taking control of the value chain. You know, we all went through COVID. We all became complete digital citizens. That meant that we couldn't go to stores. So we bought things direct. And that is the opportunity to deliver direct to consumer and really take control of the end-to-end value chain, whether you're delivering a car or groceries or any form of good. I think that for us is the third major macro area where we are seeing and will continue to see a lot of innovation. Fourth one is the obvious one. It's all about sustainability, whether we're talking about offshore wind, green hydrogen, farmers, you know, with carbon credits for changing their farming behavior. I mean, the world just needs this innovation in order to avoid the warming of the planet. And you know, again, go back to it later. But Norway in a wonderful position in this space. And then the final one is what we call embedded revenue streams. Because everything is digital these days, you can connect it all together. So if you're a bank, you can connect in, as actually DNB has started and Sparbank has started to do, you can connect cloud-based accounting services. But why don't you also connect in HR services, legal services, tax services? The ability to create and build adjacencies and offer customers a full package has never been easier because of the ability to connect those products and services. So that's the fifth area. And really, you know, all we're saying is that those five areas, mega trends, you know, you're going to see some wonderful businesses created in each and every one.
Håkon, long intro.
Yeah.
You are the CEO of Innovation Norge. Do you think that the points that Paul mentioned here is or could be a winning formula to get more Norwegian companies to go from startup to scale up, as we were mentioning?
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to be here with Paul and the insights he shared. I completely recognize them as important. And maybe also from my side, emphasize the importance of strategy. A couple of years back, we looked at what factors correlated most with growth in a company. And quite surprisingly, the one factor that stood out was that the company actually had an ambition to grow. So it was something that was decided in the board or in the management, and without that, there is no growth by coincidence. So companies, and I think particularly for Norwegian companies, it is important to have that discussion in the boardroom and in the management. What are our long-term plans and how do we translate our growth ambitions into concrete actions? And then we need to look at Paul's list, you know, where do we have an edge as a country and as individual companies? And Innovation Norway, more successful entrepreneurs and more growth companies are two of our three main goals. Mm. So this is something we work with every day. We interact with thousands of companies and we see that there is a formula that ensures growth, and it's three C's. It's about customers, having a customer focus regardless of industry, that is important, and regardless of whether it's business to business or business to consumer. The second is competence and access to relevant competence. That's a challenge in Norway because we are a small country and particularly within certain fields. Now, Paul mentioned AI, certainly a challenge to find AI competence in Norway. And finally, it's about capital, access to capital. And these all three factors play into whether a company grows or not. And in terms of optimism, let me just also make that point. I'm also fundamentally an optimist. A lot has happened in Norway over the last 5 to 10 years. We are in a much, much better state than we were before. And we have a record level of companies being founded, but more importantly, we have our first unicorns. We have Nordic Innovation counts 11. It really isn't that important, but it is sort of the tip of the iceberg. And we have a number of interesting growth companies. But obviously, we need a lot more, so that's why this conversation is so important. And I'm, again, thrilled to be here.
Can I just pick up on, because your three Cs, I love them. I mean, they are so close to what we see too on a global basis. So we see the customer is, you've got to find a valuable problem to solve.
Exactly.
You can build anything these days, but if it's not valuable, it's not solving a customer problem, no one's going to pay you anything for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So you've got to start with deep customer understanding of what is a valuable sort of problem to solve. Second point you make around competence. We looked over the 600 businesses we built, and the single biggest correlating factor for successfully scaling the business was the team that you put on it. Right. The mix of skills, diversity matters in those skills, but having the right sort of skill set. You can't build a world-leading business with a bunch of folk who've never done it before. Mm-hmm. None of us here would invest our own money in a startup where the founder says, "Well, you know, I'd just like to try it out for a while, you know, and then I'm going to go back to my corporate job." Right. And so I think corporates recognizing that it's the right sort of mix of skills. And your final one on capital, again, we see just the same. Mm-hmm. You've got to have these businesses that are funded for 18, 24, 36 months. Nobody built a unicorn mm-hmm. in a month.
Right.
So you actually need to Norwegian companies need to recognize that in order to create this growth, you've got to be in there for the longer term.
Right.
So I love your three C's, and they completely resonate.
Perfect. And I also really like your point on stamina, because an impression is created that these fast-growing companies that just happen by chance, and some application is put into a sort of digital system, and then it just magically scales. This is not the case. So, and I think to the customer point, there is also a uniquely Norwegian challenge, which is that and this is a bit of a caricature, I realize that, but rather than hiring the first sales, marketing, and brand building people, we hire engineer number 25 to keep polishing the product to perfection. This is not a recipe for growth, because there has to be a balance. And as you say, it's starting with the customer, but also making sure there's a pendular relationship between the product development or service development and the customer. So launch the sort of the minimum viable product, go back to the drawing room, again, speak to the customer and develop that. That's, I think, key. And we are not very good at this in Norway.
And we are touching upon many of the aspects that are defining the challenges in Norway. But Håkon, maybe we can take a step back and as the leader of Innovation Norge, how are you guys actively supporting or trying to support Norwegian companies today?
Yeah, we are an innovation bank and an innovation agency, and we are also the trade promotion organization of Norway. And all of these three fit together. So what we do is actually to address these three C's. We look at the access to capital. We are not there to replace the private banks or private investors. Rather, on the contrary, our schemes are set up to mobilize private capital. So we take risk that the private markets don't take. And this is particularly important in early stages, where the valley of death is still very much valid for a lot of companies, and they need that kind of soft money to bridge that. But it is important on this point to realize that it's not the public sector Innovation Norway that pays for innovation. So 1 krone from Innovation Norway is matched by 2 from the investors or the companies themselves. So that's key. But capital is key. Then second, as an innovation agency, we try to create a framework in which companies can succeed. So we work with things like public procurement. We give advice to the government in terms of what changes we think they need to make in terms of policy. But all of that is about ensuring that Norway is a good place to start and a good place to grow a company. And finally, we are abroad. So we have acceleration programs in Palo Alto, in California, and in New York, and in London. Some are targeted towards AI companies, and they're quite successful. But we also have our regular offices abroad that speak to potential clients abroad. So building a bridge between innovation in Norway and potential customers abroad is also what we do. And let me make this point now. I've listed what we do. We don't do anything alone. Everything we do with somebody. Obviously the company, but also with private investors, with banks, with consultancy firms such as yourself and others. We really are part of the ecosystem and try to enable growth through that.
Mm. And you mentioned that ambition and having a high ambition level is something that is going to be key, and that is key. Do you think that we are fully exploiting the potential that is in Norway right now?
No, not at all. I completely agree with Paul's initial points that there's so much potential. We have, I think, the best starting point in the world, but it's, you know, we need to ensure that we're just not leaning back and saying, look, we have the greatest starting point and that leave it with that. And sometimes I get that sense that we are more engaged in discussions on how great our potential is rather than actually acting on that potential.
But Paul, because in a time of high interest rates, we have a weak currency, we have rising costs of raw materials and energy, many see this as a bad time to do this, what can you say, growth and offensive investments. But we in McKinsey actually believe the opposite. Can you explain why we see the current economic challenges as an opportunity rather than just a great challenge?
I mean, that's I think there's two reasons. One is if you look at it statistically, if you look back over the economic crises that have happened, those that played offensive as well as defensive. We're not saying that you burn cash, but those who played offensive and defensive, they grow at 2x, back to this growth point of Håkon, 2x. Those that don't, when we come out of the any macroeconomic sort of dip. So it statistically we can show that it works. But then you look at the reasons why it might work, and I think it's they're relatively simple. First of all, is that those five trends that I mentioned, they're still here. It doesn't matter that we're going through whether the interest rates are high. We've still got AI, and someone's going to build a wonderful business there. We still need and are injecting money into the climate transition. Someone's going to build a business there. And then as you see that opportunity, because there is a little bit less capital around for some of the startups, I think that's when more of the corporate sector has the opportunity to step forward. It's easier to get access to talent out there to Håkon's sort of competence sort of point. And it's, you know, there's a little less competition sort of out there. And so, you know, there's a reason why it's easier to create those high-valued companies now. And at the same time, you know, you create them now, and then when the world picks up, they will accelerate out of the blocks, and that's when you get your growth.
If I may just add also on the demand side, what's happened in the last couple of years is a just call to action to Norway. I mean, if you look at our neighboring countries, they are accelerating their green transition, driven by the war in Ukraine and other factors causing a change of speed. I mean, everything that our neighbor countries look for, we have. Because we have our 120 years of hydropower, we have our oil and gas industry, we have leading companies within solar, wind, etc. So the whole energy transition that Europe goes through is a huge opportunity for Norwegian businesses. And we need entrepreneurs and established companies that seize those opportunities. And green and digital also go great together and in fact are part of the same transition.
Many of the problems and situations we're talking about now, and especially in the green transition, are something that are linked to the entire world, not just Norway in particular. And I know that, Håkon, you are quite interested in Europe and EU and the collaboration. Why so?
Well, 70% of Norwegian exports beyond oil and gas, and including oil and gas, go to the EU. So our neighboring countries are key. And also, I think there are some macro changes now, there are geopolitical changes that really makes Europe much more important for us. Norway can play a role in addressing some of the needs that the European Union has addressed in terms of a shortage of critical raw materials, in terms of microchips and other sort of critical factors that Europe needs for its competitive to keep up competitiveness. And so that's again another call to action for Norway. So Innovation Speech is our sort of flagship event every year for Innovation Norway. This year it's Europe that we have on the agenda. It's not about European Union membership, but it's about the importance of these markets, but also the research and innovation programs that Norwegian companies take part of. In fact, we're doing very well, by the way, in terms of participation. So Norwegian research institutions as well as companies compete on a European level and succeed. Only last week we had some great decisions from the European Innovation Council with a health tech AI powered, by the way, Dumor Diagnostics got a huge grant and investment. So that aside, but Europe is, we are part of Europe and we need to utilize all the goodwill that we have in Europe to do business building.
But I think that's the key, isn't it, Håkon, is that, you know, we have in Norway, you know, we have world-class sort of engineering and research sort of capabilities. We are ahead of the world in many sort of sectors, whether it is wind, green hydrogen, electrification, digitization of the front end, and we are birthing interesting companies. So it's how do we ensure that those companies actually scale. And I think that goes back to your point around the commercial side of things, is that you know, that that we're so proud engineers, we're less proud salesmen. I remember when we were in Arendal, there was a question that who would be happy if their kids said, I want to, you know, we're sitting around the breakfast table and you know, your kid says, what do you want to do for your life? And the one says, I want to be an engineer. And like, yeah, fantastic. And the other says, I want to be a salesman. You know, there's something like, just that's just not so highly regarded somehow. And yet it needs to be, because ultimately, you know, what drives success is the ability to sell. And then the second point you're making about Europe is, you know, the vast majority of companies will only become truly unicorns or if they rise themselves outside of Norwegian borders. And that's why I think, you know, your point around connecting to Europe, the work that you guys do to create sales outlets in Europe is absolutely essential. Because even if we do learn the sales skill, we need to be able to practice that outside of the borders of Norway to really grow those companies.
I agree with everything you say. Thank you. And if we look at the companies that do succeed, are, let's just take the unicorns that we have, those 11 unicorns, 10 of them are outside our traditional industries. Now, and but what kind of companies are they? They are advanced technological companies that very early on looked at global markets rather than national markets. And so they scale because they found a niche that is scalable. And some are quite surprising. I mean, one of my favorites is AutoStore, the storage robotic company from Nedre Vats in Rogaland. It was the second largest listing on the Oslo Stock Exchange after Statoil. So it's significant. So we have these companies, but we just need many, many more of them. And I think the commercial point, I find myself more frequently than before in rooms with middle-aged people. This is my life. So I often ask them, to your point, and you know, do you, around that breakfast table, do you advise your children to work in sales, marketing, or brand building? And, you know, raise your hand. And very rarely do any hands go up in the air. So there is a bit of a cultural issue here as well, because I think fundamentally there is no use in having the best products in the world if nobody knows about them.
And we are three guys here that are, as you said, Paul, half full glass. If you think optimistically about it, what opportunities lie ahead for Norway and for Norwegian companies if you actually succeed with some of the challenges, or succeed with the going head on with some of the challenges?
I just think it's a really long list to your half full point. I mean, clearly within the green transition, there are so many opportunities, and it's just, we don't have time to list all of them, but every single industrial vertical within the green transition, we have specialist competence in Norway. So the challenge is to connect that industry vertical with the advanced technology and get the company, so that innovation to happen. And also within the digital space, I mean, these two go well together. I do believe that we could do much, much more, but yes, we do have a good starting point. So I think green and digital, I think those were also Paul's initial points. I think there's great opportunity. And also, if I may just make a point in principle, there are things that we cannot think about today, but we need to foster a kind of environment where that surprise comes as well. Just as AutoStore is not as something that we could plan for, but this guy has this Rubik Cube inspirational moment and comes up with a robotic solution. We also need to ensure that our, you know, business environment allows for growth of that kind of companies that we cannot immediately think of.
And how do we do that?
Well, I think a generally good framework is key. And I guess me back to the three C's, actually. They need to have a customer focus. I mean, as a country, we could do more there, as we've discussed. capital, and we need to allow for an open exchange or have transparency and discussions about where are the sources of capital. Obviously, foreign capital is also really important in Norway to attract foreign capital. And finally, competence. And this is a challenge also, I think, for our educational institutions, but also within the companies, ensure that they are working with their competence. Mm. So it's back to that, in my opinion.
And if you look at the capital invested or risk capital invested in Norway as share of GDP, we are quite lower than our peer countries in the Nordics and in the Europe.
Yeah, but that again, I think, I mean, our GDP is also so much higher. So it's, in terms of share, yes, that is true. In terms of absolute volumes, I'm not sure the difference is that great.
Paul, to continue in the creative direction, product solutions that are yet to be launched in Norway that you are excited about? Give some entrepreneurs great ideas here now.
I think, in many of the areas that I described earlier, I think there's still so much that is yet to be launched. I think the electrification, let's just take the fact, I mean, Norway is the level of electrical adoption, of full electrical adoption of cars is here is just far higher than anywhere else. It's 95%, I think, of all cars purchased last year were 100% electric. There's no other country on the planet that has reached that level of electrification, and that electrification of it's not just the sale of the car. It changes the entire value chain for mobility. So it's not just that the car itself is different. We need all the charging infrastructure and all of the solutions to manage that. We will need repair shops will be totally different. One man and a spanner is not going to be able to repair a complicated battery. We're going to see the establishment of mega repair shops that actually have the capability to manage those battery driven vehicles. And then batteries don't last forever, so there's a whole recycling of those batteries. So I think that in each one of those areas, there's an opportunity for somebody. And it isn't just the fact that we're going to see a bunch of Chinese companies open showrooms on Karl Johan. There's going to be someone who's going to build mega repair shops. There's someone who's going to create more innovative charging infrastructure. There is someone who's going to really manage the battery recycling sort of value chain. And so why wouldn't they be Norwegian companies, given we are the pioneering sort of country when it comes to electrification? So that would be just an example for where I think there's, we talk a lot. I could, of course, talk around, green and offshore wind and green hydrogen. But I mean, lots of people have spoken about it. I think we need to think, a little bit more laterally. Where is it that Norway is doing something very special? And that's just one example where business opportunities abound and somebody's going to capture them.
And if I may add also the ocean as an area, I mean, what we're seeing at the moment is astonishing innovation in terms of products from the ocean that are not traditional fish farming or fisheries, but if you like the vegetables and plants of the ocean. And in fact, the biggest seafood export globally are the plants, not the fish. But Norway is a world leader on fish exports. The world really needs food. We're setting export records all the time now. But that innovation that now happens in the sort of lower layers of the food chain in the ocean, I think will be very, very interesting to follow. If I were an entrepreneur today, I would look at something there.
Mm. And Norway is structurally different than many other countries. We are smaller, we have less inhabitants. Many of our companies, to actually succeed, and back to your point earlier, Håkon, is you need to be born global, basically. Yeah. How do we, as a country and as an entrepreneurial ecosystem, actually support our companies to be born global from day one?
Well, there really are no barriers to thinking globally from day one. So I think it's a matter of how the company thinks about its growth past. And I think that mindset that we used to have, that you need to first grow nationally or even regionally and then go internationally, I think that's being changed now. But yes, we do also see that. Of course, industries are also different. If you have a digital product, you can go globally immediately, but it takes maybe longer for some other products and services. But the companies that succeed, I think that's part of their DNA from the very start, is to recognize that they're part of a bigger world and recognize that Norway is a small market.
probably in particular with the green transition that is happening all around the world and not just in Norway. I would like to, as we always do in this podcast towards the end, challenge you on one specific question to close and to round off. And to both of you, what is the one thing we must do today to have a more strong international business landscape tomorrow?
Advise our children to work with sales, marketing and brand building.
Paul?
Have a growth mindset.
That's great. Thank you both for joining, Håkon Haugli and Paul Jenkins. Jeg heter Kåre Sustani. Takk for at du hørte på I morgen.